This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
I'm excited today as we step into this brand new series of the new normal of what does this look like in our lives. And so today I want to come with the title, Defining the New Normal, Defining the New Normal. Anybody feeling like I am, I'm wondering if you're feeling this exact same thing of what is this new normal going to look like? When is the new normal, when is normal going to come back after coronavirus? What does that feel like to you? I know I'm a person that's a planner, and maybe you're a planner, but has it ever crossed your mind to wonder what it is going to be on the other side of all this? Today, we want to come not in a reaction mode. We want to come in a proactive mode. We want to come in a response mode to what everyone's feeling, these emotions that we're all feeling, these situations. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be speaking to those, hopefully helping you to adjust to this new normal that we are in the middle of. I can say this has been probably one of the weirdest seasons of my life. One of the weirdest things that is not just impacting me, but can I tell you that we have a common enemy around the world? We're not just fighting an enemy of ourselves in the United States. Everyone across the world is experiencing the same emotions and crisis that you are. Oftentimes we step back and go, people just don't understand. Can I tell you, there is greater understanding today than there ever has been of what people are going through. There's a greater understanding where we should not just be looking at ourselves to lick our wounds and feel sorry for ourselves, but we should be looking out to go, God, help me to have compassion on those around me. Help me to live with understanding in these uncertain times. How many people can't wait to get back to church? You know, this idea of getting back to normal. I personally cannot wait to be able to go to a restaurant. My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and I can't wait until a restaurant opens up that I can go get pancakes and eggs and sausage. I'm going to buy something, one of everything on the menu, just saying. I cannot wait until we can get back to some of those things. Have you made that statement? I just can't wait until we have normal again. I know I've made it many, many times, and I can tell you that the Holy Spirit has been challenging me with that statement. He's been confronting me within myself as I've said those statements, because I don't believe that we're going back to normal. In reality, I don't want to go back to normal. I believe that God's doing something absolutely incredibly amazing in our culture today that we don't even understand. And I don't want to go back to what was. I want to go back to what his best is. And so as we look at these next few weeks, that's how we're going to be challenging ourselves. There's a lot of speculations of what this new normal is going to look like. You know, that we're going to be wearing masks from now until eternity, that maybe rather than handshaking, we're going to bow. Maybe that toilet paper is never going to exist again. You know, I'm not sure what it is the new normal is going to be. But why is not having normal so difficult? Why is it that we are struggling so much without our normal pace of life? This word normal, I would just want to give you a definition, is the usual, the average, the typical state or condition. The usual, the average. Many of us, we say, no, I welcome the usual. I welcome being able to go to the store and be able to buy or being able to go do this. But let me ask you, are you content with just being usual? Are you content with just being average? Whenever I look at the word average, that is a little bit of an insult. It is an insult to God's power in us. And God's going, saying, I don't want you to be the normal of what normal was. I want you to be a new normal. I want you to bring you to a new place. I propose that this word normal gives us this false illusion of control. Am I speaking to any control freaks out there? If you want to type control in your comments, that would be really helpful so that I don't feel alone in this sermon. But I'm a person that has this false illusion of control, that many are the plans of a man. And so I'm making my plans. Anybody a planner? You know, I step into my day after day after day, and I've got a plan, and I've got this thing lined out, that I have this false illusion that Kevin is in control of my day. Through coronavirus, you've probably felt the exact same thing. We're powerless. We are utterly powerless. We cannot go about our normal lives. We have no power to shift our circumstances and our situations. And can I tell you, That's a really good place to be in God. That's the best place to be in God. I'll say this, that normal has been our enemy. And God says, I want to bring you to a new normal. Tony Morgan says this, interruptions jolt us. They upset the equilibrium. They force a reaction. Anybody been forced to reactions? Anybody have over the last 5 weeks been reacting into things? We want to challenge you and challenge ourselves to step into a response today and from this point forward. He goes on to say, interruptions challenge us to pause and to assess what's happening. I pray, my prayer for you, my prayer for my own life is that I would step back to assess what's not just happening in my culture, but what's happening in Kevin. That I would come back and go, God, what is it that you're wanting to teach me through this crisis? Not what are you trying to do? God, when is this going to be done? I'm going to say, God, I surrender to you. God, would you do in me what only you can do? Tony Morgan goes on to say this. Then they build a plan to respond, and ultimately interruptions provoke us to act. My challenge, our new normal at Relevant Life Church, your new normal as a believer in Christ needs to be saying, God, how do I need to begin to behave and act in this situation? The shock is done. The crisis is here. But God, what are you expecting from me and how do I walk that out? I've discovered the last few weeks that I can't grasp the new unless I let go of the old. I can't reach out and embrace the new while I'm holding on to what the past was. While I'm longing for a hug at church, while I'm longing for certain things in my life, while I'm longing for a restaurant to sit down and eat breakfast for. Can I tell you that I can't, it's prohibiting me as I hold on to the past to not embrace the future, to not embrace what God has for us now. Last week we celebrated Easter, and man, did we celebrate Easter. We had an amazing team that had made an amazing presentation, and I hope that you were able to watch it and be touched by it. But last week we celebrated death to old and life to new. That's what the resurrection, the death and the resurrection are all about, that the old would go away and the new would come. Can you imagine with me the disciples as they were facing this circumstance from old to new, that all of a sudden they're going, well, the new, I just can't wait till it's normal again. Jesus, you're here, you're alive, so it's going to be normal again. And Jesus finally comes and goes, no, actually, I'm going to my Father. They're having to adjust to this new normal. Their new normal was that they were going to be a church. The new normal was that they were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The new normal was that they were going to be praying for people and lives were going to be healed, that they were going to be preaching the gospel. That was their new normal. And Jesus says, I must go so that this could happen. Can I tell you that the old normal has to go so that new things can happen? The early church, it was birthed in moments of hardship. Most of the New Testament was written under intense pressure and persecution. The early church grew when there was intense pressure and persecution. Our series, in a sentence, is this: new is inevitable. God brings about new constantly because he initiates growth. We realize in our culture today that healthy grows, that healthy turns green, that healthy reproduces. I'm healthy because I'm growing as I'm quarantined. Anybody else growing? Our job is to do everything in our power. What power do you have? Everything that's within your power to set yourself up to thrive in that new. Would you type thrive in the comments? How many want to be done with this and be thriving? I don't want to be in recession in my life. I don't want our economy to be in recession. I don't want to be in recession spiritually. I want to be thriving. And I believe that we have the ability to do so. Our theme verse for this series is Isaiah chapter 43. Verses 18 to 19. I can tell you that I have read this verse so many times in my life, and I've looked at it from so many different perspectives. But can I tell you today, as we're in the middle of all this, I see it from a completely different light, and I'm hoping that you will as well. Isaiah's coming in his writing. He says, forget the former things. So I challenge you, would you forget the former things? Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on what you wish was normal. Do not dwell on what you're longing for. Can I tell you that the Israelites, when they left Egypt with the Exodus, they were excited to get out, and then it was just a few days later they began to long for Egypt once again. They wanted the new, they wanted normal, but before normal was gone, they wanted new normal. Isn't that a little bit psychotic in our humanity? And Isaiah is speaking to that same mindset today. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. For I, God, am about to do something new. As we pause right there, how many times have you asked God to do something new in your life? How many times have we prayed over the church? God, would you do something new? God, would you send revival? God, would you do something across America? God, would you do something new? Would you get people's attention? Can I tell you what's happening right in front of us? And this passage of scripture is coming and saying, don't dwell on the past. Don't get caught up in what was, because God has something new that's coming. He says, see, I've already begun it. Can you see it? Do you see it? Are your spiritual eyes open? Would you be praying the prayer, God, open my eyes that I can see your activity? He says, I will make a pathway through this wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Behold, God's doing something new. He's out of our control. It's not something that humanity is going to accomplish. It's something that God and God alone will accomplish. I'll say this, where we are going is greater than where we are. Where we are going is greater than we've ever been before in our lives. And either we step in and we embrace this new and say, God, I die to me, I die to the old, and I come alive to the new. God is doing something, and I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be on the outskirts. Do you? This is one of those reset moments for the church. I don't want to get through this crisis and be less than. My prayer has been, God, help me be a better follower. God, help me be a better leader. God, help me be a better person. God, I surrender to you. God, help me be more like you and less like me. Are those the prayers that you're praying? Stephen Furtick makes this statement. He says, when God wants to start something new, he has to disrupt what is normal. He has to disrupt what is normal. We don't want our normal disrupted. We like our security of our culture and our society. We like our normal of our incomes, and we like our normal of our houses, and we like our normal of our jobs. But yet, in the middle of our normal, we complain about them. God says, I want to disrupt the normal, and I want to give you something new. I want to give you something new that is for my purpose. I realize that my new normal is making me realize how independent I've been and how unreliant I've been on God. I'm realizing that there's been a lot of things that I've determined Kevin's future. At least I've thought so. There's been a lot of things that I've been planning my plans and relying on me, where God has now pulled all those things out from underneath you and me. And our new normal should be reliance on God. Our new normal should be dependence on God. Our new normal should be wholehearted trust in God. Our new normal should be this life that says, God, it's not me, it's you. A lot of us have had moments of reaction. We're endeavoring now to come up with a response. If you've been quarantined at your house with your spouse or your family or a roommate, I'll ask you today, have you had any tension at those moments? Has there been any uncertainty, any moments that you've gone into it and there's been reactions because of the stress, or reactions because you're tired, or reaction because of the new normal and the absence of old normal? I can tell you, Ron and I, we've had some moments of tension, but can I tell you, we have a predetermined response. It's been a predetermined response for much of our married life. And that response is, we're on the same team. Can I tell you that as we approach the situation, you need to be coming from a new perspective to go, what is my predetermined response? As a follower of Christ, our predetermined response should be the Bible. We should be running to Scripture for our predetermined response. We should be looking at our lives to see how our lives should play out. And there's a passage of scripture that I read this week, and it's a scripture that we realize, but it's a response that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. He says, what then shall we say in response to all of these things? What are you saying in response to all of them? Can I tell you, as we talked last week, your words have power. Your words have power. What are you saying in response to these things? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I guess it is not, my heart's here, not here. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing unto you, God. What are your words? What shall we say then in response to all these things? What are you saying? Everybody say, say. Is God, if God is for us, who can be against us? Can I tell you that when we are confronted with these circumstances, this new normal, our response needs to be out loud. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? The government's not opening soon enough. If God is for me, who can be against me? The money's not there. If God is for me, who can be against me? Can I tell you, God is faithful. And it goes on in verse 37, it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm a conqueror. Are you a conqueror? Are you stepping in and embracing this new normal and going to end up better then? We're confronted with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages every single day. Even more so in the middle of this crisis. Social media is bombarding us. The news is bombarding us. Every avenue is coming with information. Our emails are just popping. Texting is there. We're surrounded by messages. And I want to ask you, are you being formed in the situation by those messages? Or are you being formed by God's message to us? That I am a conqueror. That who can be against me? God is for me. Today, I want to look really quickly at three phrases. Thomas Paine, a writer back in the 1700s, he made this statement. He said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Lead, follow, and get out of the way. And I think many times we're formed by phrases. We're formed by these words. And I was fascinated by these three statements. And rather than saying lead, follow, or get out of the way, I'm going to say lead, follow, and get out of the way. I think there's places in our life that we need to move. And so my three points are based off of this. And they're predetermined responses. Our first response needs to, that we need to step in and say, I am going to lead well. Lead well. I'm going to lead well. I'm going to lead well. Would you type that in the comment? I'm going to lead well. Leadership in crisis cannot be overstated. In fact, as we look at the world today, as we look at the media today, our leaders are scrambling. Many times we can assess a leader and we can go, I can do better than them. And I want to come back and go, you've never led if you feel that way. Can I tell you today, leadership is very difficult. Sometimes you're loved and sometimes you're hated, and many times you're loved and hated at the same time. You cannot win. You can't please everyone. Rarely in leadership will you have 100% support. At the moment, people aren't necessarily seeing what you see and you're not seeing what they see. But as a leader, you've been called to a position to make a decision, to make the best decision you know how to make. I'm not here to support a political party, and we have the Democrats and the Republicans, and we have the independents, and there's a lot of leaders that are making a lot of decisions, and a lot of people are under the scrutiny of everybody. But can I tell you today, rather than be scrutinizing what someone's doing or not doing, we need to come together and go, where can we unite and how do we win? This needs to be something that draws us together, not shoves us apart. We work better together, and that's what America has always been. But leadership is not easy. If you think it's easy, you've probably never led. But God calls leaders to accomplish his purposes. And I want to say today that we're all called to be leaders of some sort. I'm always fascinated that why is it that everyone wants to be a leader, but not everyone wants to accept the responsibility of a leader? They like the recognition, they like the badge, but can I tell you that when you step into leadership, immediately you get a target placed on you. You're open to criticism. You're open to being idolized. You're open to that if you make a mistake, then you've fallen off your white horse. All these things happen. And leadership is not always easy. Simon Sinek says this, if you value self-interest above service beyond self, you simply don't understand the concept of leadership. If you value self-interest above service beyond self, you simply don't understand the concept of leadership. Leadership is about caring about something beyond yourself. Let me stop and ask you today, what are you caring about beyond yourself? At this moment, in your situation, in your circumstance, what are you thinking about that concern that consumes you, that includes somebody else besides you and your family? Are you thinking about our culture? Do you even have a thought about our leaders? Are you thinking about something outside of you? Leadership is about caring about something beyond yourself and leading others to a better place, even if it means you take a back seat or end up with no seat at all. Can I tell you that we need to get out of our seat and let someone else sit down? We need to be that kind of selfless leader. In 1776, America was in a crisis. George Washington was crossing the Delaware and his army was fleeting quickly. Between September and December, they had lost 11,000 volunteers in his army. December 31st was going to be the final day of when people were released back from their commitment to fighting this war. And he was losing ground. There was losing momentum. There was a sense of franticness going, how? We're almost there. We've almost won. But if everybody leaves, we're going to lose. And there was this man named Thomas Paine who did his war not with a gun, but with a pen. And he writes these statements called the American Crisis. He says, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with this, that the harder the conflict, the heart of the conflict, the more glorious the triumph, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. I could go on and I could read more about what Thomas Paine has to tell us, but can I tell you today that what we achieve too cheaply, we don't value? The longer that we endure this crisis that we're encountering, can I tell you, freedom is going to be that much more sweet. Victory is going to be that much more sweet. As we know in history, George Washington comes back and they win and they conquer. Because this word, this phrase, he had his generals from all over the place stand and read to his troops. Let's rally the troops. Let's realize what we're doing. Can I tell you today, this is a rally call. It's calling you to lead. It's calling you to step up to be the man, the woman, the teen, the child, the senior citizen that Jesus Christ has called you for, that he died for on the cross. This new normal that he's calling you to. Paul speaks to it in 2 Timothy chapter 5 as he's writing to his son in the faith. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 5, he says, but you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. How many have lost your head in this situation? How many have had moments where you felt anxiety and you felt pain and you felt crisis? You felt the uncertainty. And Paul's coming back and saying, Timothy, keep your head in the situation. He says, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I say to you, as a follower of Christ, keep your head in the middle of all this. Lead well. Keep your head. Pay attention. Endure the hardship. Be the one that's at the front going, no, I embrace this. Discharge the duties of a believer in Christ. Real quickly before I go to point two is how do we lead well? I just want to give you three little things. Number one, we need to lead ourselves well. How many have discovered that the most difficult person to lead is you? It's easy for us to criticize. It's easy for us to step back. But I ask you, are you leading you? How are you living out your disciplines? How are you walking out your faith? What are you calling yourself to? What are your resolutions? How you lead yourself is how you will lead others. You don't like the product, the end product of the people that are following you. Can I tell you, you need to look back at yourself and go, how am I leading? I've discovered that I can't help someone be their best if Kevin's not being his best. So I call you to your best. Would you step in and resolve that you're going to lead yourself like you've never led yourself before? Another place of leading is leading others. We all have others around us. We're all being watched. We're all being seen. We have a responsibility to lead others. We have a responsibility to lead our families. We have a responsibility to lead our neighbors. We have a responsibility to lead the people that we work with. And what's coming out of your mouth and what's coming out of your life is how you are leading. Are you leading with confidence? Are you keeping your head? Are you enduring the hardship with a smile on your face? Leading others. And like never before, we've been called to lead our culture. It's always crisis like this that light shines best. Can I tell you that we have an opportunity that outweighs anything that I've ever encountered in my life? Over the last generations, we've not been able to see what God could do through a circumstance like this. God's saying now, will my church please stand up? Will the people of God let the light of Jesus shine through them? Will they surrender? Will they lead well? Will they step into their ruling and ability to walk it out? Can I tell you, all leadership has always been formed by our governments and by these people of popularity. And Jesus is coming back and saying, no, I've given all authority and all power to my church. Will they step in and be what I've called them to be? We need to lead well. We need to lead well. Sometimes God will allow you to end up in the middle of a problem because he needs you to be the solution. He needs you to be the solution. I want to challenge you today. Would you quit looking to the government, social media to be the solution? Would you start asking God, show me how to be the solution? God, how do I be the solution? God, you're the one that's created and designed all these things. God, how do I be part of the solution? Point number two, not only do we lead well, but we are to follow well. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And everybody say, I'm going to follow well. The truth is that we all follow something. We all follow something. Following isn't bad. But can I tell you, in our culture today, that we kind of diss on those that follow. Leaders are exalted and followers are demoted. When we talk about following, maybe you're on Instagram and you follow someone and therefore you get their feed. Maybe on Facebook you like someone and therefore on your trail of activity you get their information. Maybe you follow the government's rulings and you're part of CDC, the mailings and emails that are coming out, and you're trying to follow so you know what to do. We all are following something. Effective followers play a huge part in our culture today. I think followership is grossly overlooked and leadership is grossly over exalted. There's something that we're called to in following. But many of us come back to this place of going, who wants to say my great gift is to follow? Right? We want to go, no, my gift is to lead. Let me get out there with my gifts and abilities. In reality, God's going, no, I want you to follow. A good follower is defined as someone who is committed to a purpose. Being committed to a purpose, a principle, or a person outside of themselves. Wow, what a statement. As we come to this, are you committed to something outside of you? Are you a good follower? Or when you are sitting in the middle of this new normal that we're in, and are you just consumed with you? Are you going, no, God, I want to be consumed outside of me. A good follower, a healthy follower, is someone who's committed to a purpose, a principle, or a person outside of themselves. It's someone who's courageous, honest, and credible. If that's the definition of followership, I want to be a follower. I want to be someone that is there, that's committed to. Aristotle said this, he who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader. In my life, I've had to learn that really hard lesson. That I've been given this title of lead, but if I don't follow well, my leadership is ineffective. If people can't see my life as a follower of Christ or a follower of someone else that is above me, of submitting to someone else's authority, I'm not a good leader. Can I tell you the very first commandment that Jesus gave us? He gave his followers. Matthew 4:19, he says this, come, follow me. Can you imagine if Peter, James, and John and the 12 disciples said, no, I want to lead. Jesus, you follow me. Jesus comes with this statement that says, you follow me. Jesus was asking his disciples, the very definition of this was to come away from or come out from among. To come away from, to come out from among, to change the direction and to come after. It was a choosing, it was a choice. As he went in and approached his disciples, he said, hey, you, come follow me. And they had to say, okay, that means I'm going to leave what is present and I'm going to go do something that is new. Many of us like adventures. Can I tell you, Jesus is the greatest adventure. Learning to follow is the greatest adventure. You've been praying for something, excitement, a real life situation. We get caught up with real life TV. Can I tell you, we're living in real life right now. And this is an opportunity for you to step in to go, no, God, I'm following you. I'm going to change my behavior and I'm going to adjust me and I'm going to follow what your lead is. Paul himself says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. It's my statement today. Please don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. Don't follow my bad behavior. Don't say, well, Pastor Kevin did it. Can I tell you, we've got to quit making excuses and we need to follow people that are following Christ. We need to be looking to them. And I ask you today, who are you following? Who are you following? Whose voice is the loudest in your life? You know that moment when you hear a song or a jingle and it just gets stuck in your brain and it plays over and over and over and over and over again? What song are you singing? Is it Jesus' song? Is he the loudest voice in you? Is he the one that's shifting your voice, shifting your life? If you don't like the fruit of your life, you need to check what you're feeding yourself. If you step back and you look at your life, you need to check your root system. If you're filled with negativity and criticism and judgmentalism and worry and anxiety and fear, can I tell you those are all natural parts of our humanity? That's the natural root system that is there. It's called the sinfulness of our lives. But because we are new creatures in Christ, he's replanting us. And that root system needs to grow in him and it needs to change. And we need to be following with this attitude of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Something else needs to overcome our lives. Psalms 23 is a chapter about leading and following. If you take opportunity right now to look up on your phone, I want to actually, or maybe you have your Bible sitting there. Maybe you're one of the real spiritual ones. I didn't bring mine to the pulpit this morning. But I want to read it to you. This passage of scripture is a scripture about leading and following. The psalmist comes and he says, the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. The Lord is my leader. The Lord is the one who is guiding me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, for they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you, we can memorize that passage of scripture and we go, I want all the promises of that scripture. But unless you follow the shepherd, you will never get those things. Unless you don't follow where he's leading you, you will never be led to the streams. You'll never be led to the green pastures. The goodness and the mercy surely won't be over your life if you do not follow him. The importance of following. Point number three. Get out of the way, and I labeled it surrender well. Surrender well. I say to you today, lead where you must, follow where you must, but learn to surrender where you need to get out of the way. Can I tell you that many times we're the obstacle that's standing in the way? We're the obstacle. No, Pastor Kevin, the coronavirus isn't the obstacle. No, the government's the obstacle. No, this leader's the obstacle. Can I tell you what's the obstacle in you today? Your response is your responsibility. You cannot control everybody else. You can only control you. You have to get out of the way. You have to say, God, what is it that you're wanting to do in me? And the only way that happens is by surrendering well. This word surrender is cease resistance, to submit to authority. I can tell you over the last 5 weeks, there's been a lot of things that I've resisted. I've had a lot of quiet moments in walking with God. I've had a lot of tear moments as I'm walking down the street, as I've been doing 3 and 4 miles a day. I've been listening to podcasts. And I can tell you, it's been in those quiet moments that the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, saying, Kevin, when are you going to learn to surrender? Kevin, when are you going to quit relying on yourself and rely on me? Kevin, when are you going to stop relying on what the government is saying and rely on what I've already said? Kevin, when are you going to cease resisting? When are you going to submit to my authority? Surrendering is literally giving up. Surrendering is coming to God and saying, God, I'm not big enough to deal with this. As I spent hours in texting my sheep last night, communicating with people and hearing how overwhelmed they are, can I tell you that my challenge today, just like God's challenging me, is would you learn to surrender to Him in the middle of all this? Stop striving. Stop striving. Stop striving. Cease resistance and say, God, you're in control of this situation. We see this statement, and we've heard it before, that to let go and to let God. It's one of these things you see on bumper stickers and you see on posters and you see on all these different things, just to let go and let God. And we just kind of say it nonchalantly. And I want to say, is it hard for you to let go and let God? Is it hard for you like it's hard for me? Is it hard for you to let go of the old normal and let God usher you into the new normal? It's surrender. I've realized this. It's kind of like God was saying to me this week. He said, Kevin, when you take your hands off the situation, my hands can freely move your situation. There's been things in me that are stirring as we know that someday this is going to come to a conclusion, and going, God, what does the new church look like? And God, how do we step into this? And God's going, Kevin, it's my church. My church has been through worse things than the coronavirus. My church has thrived in worse things than the coronavirus. And the greatest answer we can do is we can surrender. I had a dear friend text me last Saturday morning before our recording, sent me this passage of scripture, and it has played over and over and over in my spirit this week. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. They were facing defeat. There was no hope for them to overcome. But it goes on with this. It says, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Yes, there are things that we need to walk out practically as we approach the coronavirus. There are things that we cannot be foolish with. We cannot be negligent of. But can I tell you today that this situation, this crisis, is God's battle, not yours? It's bigger than you. It's bigger than our humanity. It's bigger than our understanding. We may not have a cure, but we do have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. I heard a statement this week that God will never give you enough in your life to make Him unnecessary. I've realized in this month, this 5 weeks, going on 6 weeks, that God is more necessary in my life than He's ever been. How about you? Are you surrendering well? This place of surrender is putting your hands up. I think of the old country Western movies and how they come and say, put your hands up, you know, and everybody's like surrendering and they're waiting to go, should they reach for the gun or is it going to be a shootout and who's going to die? Can I tell you that that's what we're doing with God? As we're doing like this and we're reaching for our gun to go, do I need to respond? And God's going, would you just surrender and let me fight the battle? Would you just let me do this? Would you get on your knees? Would you pray? True surrender is on your knees. Louis Giglio, a couple weeks ago, he gave a message that was absolutely remarkable. And he talked about 20 inches to mercy. 20 inches to mercy. And he talks about this whole thing of this place of mercy. And he points us to this passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the land. Louis Giglio is shorter than I am. So actually it's 24 inches to mercy for me. What he's talking about is finding mercy on your knees, learning to surrender really, really well. How do we surrender? We get on our knees. How do we really lead and how do we really follow? We must get out of the way and get on our knees. Can I tell you this, that Jesus led on his knees? Jesus got on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. And he led them. Jesus surrendered. He followed well by going daily into the presence of God on his knees. But can I tell you, he surrendered really well in the garden when he got on his knees and he said, God, not my will, but yours be done. When we look at leadership, we see that Jesus was the greatest of all leaders. Today, even today, we apply principles in the world that Jesus practiced in the spiritual. He was an amazing leader. But can I tell you, Jesus was an amazing follower. He didn't come with his agenda. He came with his Father's agenda. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. And when it all came down to the very end, he said, God, if this cup can pass from me, would you please take it? But he says, God, if not, I surrender. Can I tell you, there's been a lot of prayers that have gone up saying, God, if this cup can just pass from us. But I believe this wholeheartedly. God says, you've been praying for revival. You've been praying for change. You've been praying for change in your family's life. You've been praying for salvation in your home. You've been praying that God would be greater in your life and you would be less. Can I tell you, this is your opportunity to step in and to lead your life well. This is your opportunity to follow well. This is your opportunity to completely surrender and say, God, I give you complete control of my life. As I close, Ephesians chapter 3 says this. Now to him who is able. Now to him who is able. Now to God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. What are you thinking about normal should be after the coronavirus? Are you content with just going back to what was? Or do you have an imagination that's greater? God does. And he says this, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. We're limited sometimes by going, I just want to go back to church. I just want to go to a restaurant. And God goes, no, I have something so great in store for you. The church is going to come alive. Souls are going to see Jesus. And it says, according to his power, God's power, that is at work in you and in me. Can I tell you, if we don't lead well and we don't follow well and we don't surrender well, that power isn't active in us. I want to close today and I want to invite you, and I didn't forewarn my people on the platform. In your home, even as awkward as it may be, would you go to the place of 20 inches of mercy with me? I believe that God wants to do something through us. This is a pivotal moment at Relevant Life Church, a pivotal moment in your life. Would you come to a place of surrender at this place? Would you just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that we could get out of the way. God, we surrender our hearts and our lives and our minds to you. God, you are our leader. Help us to lead boldly. God, you are a follower. Help us to follow. God, help us to let you do this battle. God, we embrace your new normal. God, would you work in us? Would you change us? God, would you fight this battle for us? God, help us to stop striving. Help us to stop grasping for what the next answer should be. God, today we are more than conquerors in you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe today you're watching and you're saying, what are these people doing, getting on their knees? And maybe you've never encountered Jesus. Can I tell you today, the day is the best opportunity for you to surrender. It's a form of saying, Jesus, I need you. God didn't shout his love from heaven. He sent his son to earth to walk amongst us that we would not be alone. And if you're here listening, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you be the Lord of my life? Jesus, thank you for what you did. Holy Spirit, envelop my life that I might serve you. Thank you for making me a new creation. Thank you for giving me a new normal. God, help me to put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We thank you for listening to us today. We encourage you, would you make a comment in the line, on the comment line today, to say, I'm surrendering well, I'm leading well, I'm following well. Maybe would you make a statement to say, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would you send us your email address? Would you connect with us on our info@relevantlifechurch.net so that we can communicate with you and possibly even send you a Bible? God bless you. We love you so much. We miss you. We're going to sing this song one more time. Jesus, Jesus, let him tremble in your life. Let him cause every situation to be victorious in Jesus' name.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.